हरे कृष्णा। सो वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग द ग्लोरीज ऑफ वेरियस ग्रेट डिवोटीज इन द लास्ट फ्यू डेज एंड टुडे वी विल टॉक अबाउट श्री पुंडरीक विद्यानिधि हु वाज एन ओशन ऑफ लव of Godhead, unparalleled. The demonstration and exhibition of ecstatic symptoms by Pundarik Vidyanidhi was something completely inconceivable even to the general body of devotees who lived with Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But the wonder of it all is that to external vision, to ordinary vision, Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi appeared just like any other materialist. Only those who really knew him well understood his glories as a devotee. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has described Pundarik Vidyanidhi as the third big branch of the Chaitanya tree. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been compared to one big tree which has many, many branches. One branch was Srivas Thakur and his brothers. And in this way he goes on narrating the different branches and sub-branches. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi is the third branch mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who says that he is a great soul for whom the Lord cried in separation, feeling his absence. And the reason for that is not far to find, because the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika says that Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi was actually none other than the father of Srimati Radharani, that is Maharaj Vrishabhanu in Krishna Leela. And we must remember that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who has come in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And therefore Mahaprabhu one time in Navadvip began to cry, "O Pundarik, O Pundarik, O my dear father, when will you come? When will you come? I am feeling intense separation from you." And the devotees were wondering, who is this Pundarik? Is he talking about Pundarikaksha, the lotus-eyed Lord Krishna? The word Pundarik means lotus. Pundarikaksha means one with lotus eyes, because the word Aksha also means eye. So is he really talking about Krishna that he's feeling separation from? And then he would say Vidyanidhi, and then the devotees would understand that he's not speaking about Krishna, but he's speaking about some devotee called Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And then they would ask him, "Who is this Pundarik Vidyanidhi? Please tell us about his glories. Where does he live? And what does he do?" And then Mahaprabhu began glorifying Pundarik Vidyanidhi as if he had many, many mouths, and said, "Such an extraordinary devotee he is, such an ocean of love, and he has such ecstasy in the love of Godhead that it has never been seen before. He is a great Brahmana and a great scholar, well respected by everyone. And therefore, when he comes here shortly, it will be our great privilege, our great honor." Pundarik Vidyanidhi was born in what is present-day Bangladesh, what was also known as East Bengal in those days, in the Chattogram district, in a village called Mekhala, very small village, and his family also lived in that district for many years. Although they were very wealthy at one time, but because they belonged to a certain community of Brahmanas called the Vandara Brahmanas, there was some kind of dispute between them and some other groups of Brahmanas, and so they fell out of repute. But nevertheless, the family was always well off. In that village, there is a temple which is now very, very old. It is almost crumbling. Perhaps it may have crumbled by now, because this was being stated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw this temple almost 75 years ago. So by now, perhaps it may not be there even. And he said that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is said to have personally constructed this temple over there. And at some other time, he came to Navadvip. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also says that one of his descendants is here in Vrindavan, Sarojananda Goswami. So that must have been also many, many years ago. So his descendants may perhaps be here. And he says that because he had only one, each of the descendants had either no sons or one son, so it was a very small family that went on with the generations. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, somehow or other, came to Navadvip. He was already very wealthy. He was a big landowner. And when he came to Navadvip, he came there incognito. That means he did not declare that he was a devotee of the Lord. He came there and resided in his own house in Navadvip. But there was one devotee who very well knew the glories of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And that was Mukunda Datta. Mukunda Datta was a doctor. And he was also a very intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Mukunda Datta also hailed from Chattagram district, from a village that was very close to that of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And so he very well knew about Pundarik Vidyanidhi's deep love for Lord Krishna. He was recognized as an ocean of love even there in his home district. And therefore Pundarik Vidyanidhi's glories were well known to Mukunda Datta. Mukunda Datta was the brother of Vasudev Datta. So these two brothers were intimate associates of Mahaprabhu. Now it also so happened that Gadadhar Pandit was also very close to Mukunda Datta. And one day, Mukunda Datta told Gadadhar Pandit, "I will show you a very great Vaishnava. So if you wish to see one, then you please come with me. But you have to pay a price for that. The price is that if I show you such a great Vaishnava, then you must accept me as your servant. If you are willing to accept me as your servant, then I will show you something. I will introduce you to a very, very great Vaishnava." Generally, people in the outside world don't talk like this when they strike deals. The deals that are struck in the outside world are quite different from the ones that sometimes devotees strike with each other. So then, Gadadhar Pandit was overjoyed to hear this proposal. He said, "Very nice, I certainly want to see this great Vaishnava. What is his name?" He said, "His name is Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and he is an ocean of love." He said, "Very good, so let us go." And Mukunda Datta took him to meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Now, because he was very wealthy, his living condition was very opulent. Gadadhar Pandit from childhood was a very renounced person. He was almost like a sannyasi even as a child. He was completely indifferent to material affairs. Gadadhar Pandit's father's name was Madhav Mishra, who was also a great scholar and a devotee. And he was very intimate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even as a boy. So his standard of pure devotion was that someone should be also externally very renounced and live an extremely simple life. So when he heard that Mukunda Datta was introducing him to a very great devotee, he naturally assumed that he would be meeting someone who would be really very renounced and who would be living a very, very simple life. So he was very surprised, therefore, when he reached Pundarik Vidyanidhi's home. And they entered into the house and they saw such opulent furnishings everywhere. And there were lots of servants moving hither and thither. And there upon a couch with nice fine cushions and silken bedding with all kinds of pillows and everything, and with some three canopies on top, was sitting Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Gadadhar Pandit offered him respects. Pundarik Vidyanidhi also offered respect and made him sit down. And then he asked Mukunda Datta, "So who is this nice gentleman, nice young man? I can see from his effulgence that he must be rendering very wonderful service to Lord Krishna." So then Mukunda Datta introduced him and said, "Yes, this is Gadadhar Pandit, and he is a great devotee right from childhood, very extraordinary personality. And he has wanted to see a great devotee, so I have brought him to see you." Then Gadadhar Pandit started looking at the situation around him. Now it appeared that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was like a prince. The way he was sitting on the cushion, leaning on the seat, which was with soft cushions and pillows, leaning back with one of his feet up, and he was chewing betel nut, and he had spittoons where he would spit out the remnants of the betel, and he had water pots, very ornate water pots, very expensive looking water pots here around him, and plus around him on various sides were big ornate mirrors which he would look into frequently. And then he was sitting with all kinds of fine silk clothing, expensive, very, very expensive. Even the cloth on the bed on which he sat was very expensive. His oil was slickly groomed with fine perfumed oil. There was a hairstyle of a certain kind. And as he sat there chewing the betel and looking as if he was a king of the world, and Gadadhar Pandit started to think a little bit about this whole situation. He had earlier come in with a lot of faith, thinking that since Mukunda Datta had praised Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Mukunda Datta's certificate was very valuable. So he naturally developed a lot of faith in the great devotional qualities of Pundarik Vidyanidhi even before he met him. But now that he saw him like this, then his faith immediately went down. And doubt started coming into his mind. What is this? Although he didn't speak anything, but in his mind he was thinking, what kind of devotee is this? This person looks like a sense gratifier. He's just sitting here with all kinds of opulent furniture and all kinds of opulent clothing and his hairstyle with perfumed hair oil and chewing pan or betel, and with all these servants fanning him with peacock feathers, with all these things here. So, and he was a little confused. He didn't know what to make out of this whole thing. Mukunda Datta had been studying Gadadhar Pandit's expression, and he could understand what Gadadhar Pandit was thinking. So he thought he understood exactly and decided that it was time to reveal the true glories of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So then he started speaking. He said, "Oh, how merciful is Krishna that he delivered even that great demoness Putana, who had come to kill him. She smeared poison on her breast in order to breastfeed Krishna so that Krishna would be killed. But just see how Krishna is so merciful that because she had taken the role of a mother, he excused her offense and instead delivered her and gave her the position of a nurse in Goloka Vrindavan. How merciful is Krishna! And then he recited this famous verse from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jigham sayapaya yadapya sadhavi lebhe gatim dhatri uchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. So we find this in the conversation between Vidura and Uddhava in the third canto. And Uddhava is remembering the glories of Krishna being prompted by Vidura. And Vidura is able to understand how glorious is the devotion of Uddhava. It's not at all anything ordinary. So in this verse, Uddhava is glorifying the quality of mercy of Krishna. Incidentally, it is also said that this is one of the two verses that was heard by Shukadev Goswami that made him come back. It is said that when Shukadev Goswami was born, or rather even before he was born, he was inside his mother's womb for many long years, some say 12 years, some say 16 years. And even when Vedavyas, his father himself, tried to convince him to come out, he wouldn't come. He said, if I come out, I will be in Maya. So he wanted to avoid Maya and wanted to remain therefore within his mother's womb. But that was a rather extraordinary position to be in for a long time. Ultimately, Krishna personally had to come and convince him that he would not be in Maya, you come out. So he came out, but the moment he came out, he decided he didn't want to have anything to do with family life. So he began to walk away. And at that time, Vedavyas started lamenting. And he was in great sorrow, even though he had composed all the Vedas. Nevertheless, he saw that his son had gone away and he felt some affection for him. The disciples of Vedavyas went after young Shukadev and they chanted this famous verse, which we have also chanted some days ago. Barha pidam natavara bapuhu karanayoh karnikaram. Do you remember this verse that we chanted? We had described this as one of the most beautiful verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This was in connection with Mahaprabhu seeing the young son of King Prataparudra, who was in his early Kaishor age, and that served like an uddipana or a stimulant for ecstatic love for Mahaprabhu, who started immediately remembering Krishna in his early Kishore days. And in the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, Rupa Goswami has mentioned that the early Kaishore age is characterized by certain appearance and certain dress. And to give evidence for that, he cites this particular verse from the Venu Gita, the 21st chapter of the 10th canto. It is the 5th verse, which is considered one of the most sweet and beautiful verses of the Bhagavatam. So when the disciples of Vedavyas chanted this verse, Shukadev Goswami was immediately attracted, although he had basically been originally attracted to the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. When he heard the glories of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, he immediately stood attracted. Oh, Krishna is so beautiful. But then a doubt came into his mind. He may be very beautiful, but what if he is not merciful and what if he doesn't accept me? And then the disciples chanted this verse, Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam. And then that convinced Shukadev Goswami that Krishna was not only all beautiful, he was also all merciful. And definitely he would accept Shukadev Goswami and shower his mercy upon him. So this is about Putana, who is called Baki, the sister of Baka. Stana Kalakutam, she had applied on her breast this Kalakuta poison. And she was a sadhvi. she was unfaithful. She came here with a malicious motive to kill Krishna. But lebhe gatim dhatri uchitam tatah anyah. And she got the destination of a nurse, of a dhatri, who is as good as a mother in Goloka Vrindavan. Kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. How can I find somebody so more merciful than this? So at this point, when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this, there was a dramatic change. Immediately he was transported into a fit of ecstatic love. And he started saying, oh Krishna, where are you? And then he started flailing his hands and legs about. And all those wonderful spittoons and water pots and mirrors were broken to pieces. And then in that ecstatic love, he went completely out of control. He was in an inner world of extreme delight, spiritual delight. But he was not in control of his body and what he was doing around him. He began to tear his own costly clothes. He completely ripped apart into shreds the costly furnishings he was sitting on. And the canopies were all torn to pieces. Everything was shattered around him. All the costly things, and then he fell to the ground with a thud. And everybody was thinking this must have broken all his bones. But he was making loud noises and he was perspiring, he was trembling, he was shivering. And he was crying out for Krishna. And his shivering was so strong that Vrindavan Das Thakur says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that 10 people holding him could not control him. And his disciples, some of them were just watching helplessly. It completely shook up the whole household. And all the servants came trying to salvage whatever could be salvaged. But nothing much could be salvaged because in his ecstasy, Pundarik Vidyanidhi had not spared anything. By the time he actually collapsed externally unconscious, everything in that room had been destroyed. Nothing remained there. And finally, out of exhaustion, he just lay down, still in an internal world of great delight. At that time, Gadadhar realized he had made a great mistake, that he had wrongly judged Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So he turned around and embraced Mukunda Datta and said, Thank you, I am greatly indebted to you for introducing me to this Vaishnav. Actually, I have committed a great offense. Initially, I thought that this person was just a sense gratifier. I looked at the way he was combing his hairstyle, I looked at his clothes, I looked at his eating of betel nut, and at the way the servants were all around him, serving him and fanning him. And I thought, how could this person be a great devotee of Krishna? Doesn't look possible. But now after seeing him, I can understand what a great devotee he is. And I have made a great offense. So what should I do now? The only thing I can do to make up for my great offense is to accept him as my spiritual master. Because the Shastra says that one must have a guru. One must take initiation from a guru. Now we must remember that these were the early days in Navadvip when Mahaprabhu had just begun to manifest his devotional pastimes. So Gadadhar Pandit told Mukunda Datta that now I wish to take initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Mukunda Datta was very happy to hear this and said, yes, that is proper. And it took a complete 6 hours for Pundarik Vidyanidhi to come to external consciousness. And he lay there completely in a different world of his own. Although externally everything was such a mess, everything was broken and torn, and he seemed also to be, his hair was disheveled, his clothes had been torn, but still internally he was in a different state of consciousness. So after 6 hours, when he came to external consciousness, Gadadhar also had been crying tears of ecstasy, and his whole body was wet with his tears. And then when Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw this, he became very happy and he embraced Gadadhar. And both of them remained together for a while. And then Mukunda Datta explained to Pundarik that here young Gadadhar had a misunderstanding about you. He thought that you were just an ordinary materialist. But now after seeing this, he has understood your glories and he feels he has committed a great offense at your lotus feet. And therefore he wants to atone for this offense by taking initiation from you. So please give him initiation. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi said, yes, I will happily give him initiation on the coming Dwadashi in the fortnight of the waxing moon. That is a very good time for initiation. And in fact, to have a priceless jewel like Gadadhar as a disciple is a great fortune for me. I must have committed many, many pious acts in the previous life that I have the good fortune to have a disciple like Gadadhar. And in this way, Gadadhar and Mukunda Datta came away from the house of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And we can only imagine what the servants and caretakers of Pundarik's house had to do after this departure, and what they must have thought about other guests coming in and similarly speaking such things, so that everything in the house would be destroyed eventually. These are not symptoms that, of course, can be imitated. After some time, Pundarik Vidyanidhi slipped away and he went alone to meet Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, of course, had known that Pundarik was coming. And that's why he had been saying, Pundarik, Pundarik, where are you? I'm feeling separation from you. But even after Pundarik had actually come to Navadvip, to Mayapur, Mahaprabhu, like Mukunda Datta, had not revealed the truth about Pundarik. Both Mahaprabhu and Mukunda Datta wanted the truth to reveal by itself. Let the devotees understand by themselves how great a devotee he was. So then he came, and when he saw Mahaprabhu, he became so much enraptured in divine love that he could not even offer obeisances. He simply collapsed. And Mahaprabhu also reciprocated. And he exhibited such symptoms of devotion upon seeing Gauranga Mahaprabhu that all the devotees who had come there also were struck with wonder. And then Mahaprabhu very strongly embraced Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that it appeared that the two bodies had become one. So deep was the devotion for each other that they remained like that for a long time. And ultimately, when both of them came to external consciousness, then Mahaprabhu began to glorify Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And he gave him the name Premanidhi. Nidhi means ocean. And Prema means love. So he's an ocean of love. His name was Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He was an ocean of Vidya or knowledge, which is true. He was a scholar. He had a reputation like that. But his real qualification was that he was Premanidhi. He was an ocean of love of Godhead. And at that time, then Gadadhar Pandit revealed to Mahaprabhu what had happened and how he felt he had committed an offense at the lotus feet of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and that in order to atone for this great offense, and also because Pundarik Vidyanidhi was such an exalted soul, he wanted to take initiation from him. So Mahaprabhu immediately replied, yes, do it quickly. And then at the proper time, Pundarik Vidyanidhi initiated Gadadhar Pandit. So this marvelous episode, this marvelous pastime took place, and it is described elaborately by Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very, very friendly with Swarup Damodar Goswami. And they would often share confidences with each other. They would speak about Krishna for hours and hours on end. And time was no limitation for them. It was many years later that Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to Jagannath Puri. This was when Mahaprabhu had already shifted there and he was performing pastimes with his devotees there. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi's arrival was something very wonderful for the associates of Mahaprabhu and for the Lord. They were looking forward to having him there. And he participated in all the activities that the other devotees were involved in. One day, he was sitting with Swarup Damodar Goswami. And they were talking about so many things in Krishna consciousness. And the time came for the Odana Shashti festival. This Odana Shashti festival is a ceremony that takes place just before winter, when Lord Jagannath is offered an extra cloth because it may get a little cool. So just to keep him a little warm, this ceremony is especially celebrated. The important thing is that in devotional life, the Lord is very much considered to be a person. And therefore he is dealt with like a person. We offer bhoga to him. We give him sufficient time to eat, not that we place the plate and immediately remove it because we are hungry. We keep it there for a certain time. That is reasonable from our point of view. Although Krishna doesn't need the 10 or 15 or 20 minutes that we keep the bhoga there for. If Krishna wants, he can just eat in one microsecond. Just with one small glance, he can eat everything. But still we keep it for a certain time, a certain period. Because that's the regulation. We get trained to treat Krishna, the deity, as a person. And just as we need time to eat, we also give Krishna time to eat even though he doesn't really need that time from one point of view. Similarly, we wake up the deity, we put the deity to rest, we decorate the deity. We're careful not to harm the deity in any way, not to scratch the deity's surface, not to poke any pins on the deity's surface when dressing him. So, we exactly treat the deity like we would treat any other person, but much more so, with much more care, much more devotion, because he's directly the Supreme Lord. So here also in Odan Shasti, now because winter is coming up, although it's not very cold in Puri in winter, but still he's offered a little extra cloth. These are traditions that have been coming down the ages. And then it is a tradition there to offer a starched cloth. According to the Archana Marg, the method of worship, there are rules and regulations to be followed. One cannot be whimsical and offer anything one likes in whatever way one likes. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, for example, Sanatan Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami have very elaborately described how the process of deity worship should take place. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also has extracted information from there and made his Archana Paddhati. And Srila Prabhupada further condensed that book to give standard guidelines for ISKCON temples in deity worship. So there are so many strict guidelines that must be followed. And one of the guidelines is that the pujaris must not be contaminated when they offer any kind of worship or service to the deities, and also that nothing contaminated must be offered to the Lord. And one of the things that is considered to be contaminated is starched cloth. Generally, when we buy some cloth from the market, it may be starched because it is well creased and everything. And then before we offer to the deities, we are supposed to wash it, wash the starch off, and then we make the offering. But for the Odana Shashti festival, the sevaks, the sevites, the pujaris of Jagannath were offering the cloth without the starch. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi noticed this. And in the conversation with Swarup Damodar, by the way, he mentioned that actually this is not the proper thing to do. They're offering Lord Jagannath starched cloth. They should wash the cloth. And then with the clean cloth and with clean body, they should offer. So Swarup Damodar Goswami began to explain that although it is true that this is the regulation of the Archana Marga, of the process of deity worship, nevertheless, this is a special case because it is a special tradition coming down for many, many years. So, well, that may be. But nevertheless, this is the rule that must be followed. And we should not break the rule. The pujaris must follow the rules. And even though Jagannath is all pure, there is no consideration of him being impure at any time, but the pujaris, that consideration doesn't hold for them. Sometimes they may be pure, sometimes they may be impure. So when they touch starched cloth, and then they serve the Lord, or they offer the starched cloth to the Lord, they're actually breaking the law, the rule. So it's not proper. So are they directly avatar? No, they should not do this. In this way, Swarup Damodar Goswami tried to explain in response to this that because it was a special tradition, that it was allowed by Lord Jagannath himself, so there was nothing that we should say about this. It wasn't something so objectionable. He says, well, what to speak? The king should have stopped this. In fact, the king himself is wearing that starched cloth as a turban on his head. So, in this way, the discussion went on. Many times, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who were very close friends, would have frank discussions like this. When he came to Puri, Mahaprabhu had arranged for Pundarik Vidyanidhi to get a residence in Yameshwar. And then he would come and go to the temple and participate in the devotees' association there regularly. And he would go for walks and bath to the sea. And this time when he had gone with Swarup Damodar, this discussion took place. After some time, the two friends separated and they entered. They went back to take rest in their respective places of residence. Next morning, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a little late to come for the morning darshan of Lord Jagannath. So when Swarup Damodar Goswami saw him, he said, so my dear Pundarik, what happened? Every day we meet and then we go out, we go to see Lord Jagannath, but today you have come late. What is the matter? So it was still dark. He says, come, I will tell you what happened. So then when Swarup Damodar went there, he saw that Pundarik Vidyanidhi's face was red and swollen. His cheeks were swollen and they had become red and there were some marks on his faces. He said, what happened? He said, I will tell you, come, sit down. He says, when I went to bed, he said, Lord Jagannath and Balaram came in my dream and they caught me very severely and said, so, you want to find fault with my servants, with our servants? Take this and take that, and they began slapping him. And they slapped him left and right. And so fierce was the slapping that Pundarik Vidyanidhi in his dream, he was helplessly screaming, oh Lord, please protect me, please save me, please forgive me. And then he was falling at their feet repeatedly begging forgiveness and saying that I will never commit this offense again. And then the lords departed. And then he woke up. And then he saw that his face had become red and swollen. And there were bruise marks on his body from the severe slapping he had received in the night. And then Swarup Damodar Goswami heard this. He was struck with wonder. He began to say, my dear friend, how fortunate you are. What an extraordinary form of mercy you have received. I have never heard of anybody receiving mercy in this way. The Lord has personally come in your dream and given you darshan and spoken to you and slapped you and given you mercy. This is most extraordinary. And even Pundarik Vidyanidhi began to say, yes, yes, I am truly fortunate. And then the word spread amongst the devotee community, and everybody was struck with wonder, and they were glorifying Pundarik Vidyanidhi's great fortune that he was slapped directly by Lord Jagannath and Balaram when he was sleeping. There are many similar stories like this. There was also a story much before this time of Ramanujacharya, who also similarly had some ill feeling about the way the pujaris of Jagannath were doing something. And as he lay to sleep in Jagannath Puri one night, the next morning he woke up to find himself near Kurmakshetra in Andhra Pradesh, many hundreds of miles away. And then he understood that Lord Jagannath had actually simply moved him away, transported him, and brought him, he'd taken him away from Jagannath Puri. And speaking of Lord Jagannath chastising people in the night, Pankajangri Prabhu in Mayapur has dozens and dozens of wonderful pastimes to narrate. And one that comes to mind is basically that there was a Muslim who was living near the temple, the Jagannath temple. As you know, that there is a Jagannath temple that is not very far from our Mayapur temple. And there are some Muslims who stay close by. So they had come, somehow they came there, and they saw that these people have come here, they've started a temple and everything. And at that time, the pujari, trying to be very kind to them, he offered some mahaprasad of the deities. And this time this Muslim person didn't take it, and rather he refused that and dishonored the mahaprasadam. He in fact offended the mahaprasadam. So the pujari didn't think much about it. He said, after all, he's a Muslim, so what can we expect? But that night, or rather the next day, the same Muslim person came running. He came running there and he said, please give me prasadam, please give me prasadam. I want to take prasadam. And he started falling flat in front of the deities. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, when I was sleeping at night, when very fierce form came to me in my dream, and he caught me by the scruff of my neck, and he started slapping me and said, you dare to offend my mahaprasadam? You're not accepting my mahaprasad. How dare you do this? And he said, if you don't do this now, then I will kill you the next time. So this man was so frightened that the next day he just came running and said, henceforth I will come every day to take some mahaprasadam. He would come. So the Lord has his own way in which he showers his mercy. So here also he showered Pundarik Vidyanidhi with this mercy. At one time also, after many days, Gadadhar Pandit came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And he said, my dear Lord, actually I have made a mistake. Whatever mantras I have received at the time of Diksha, I have told this to an undeserving person. And therefore, I am seeing that now my concentration during my chanting of the holy name has been disturbed. I am not able to focus on the chanting of the holy names. In other words, what Gadadhar Pandit was trying to say was that he was not feeling that same ecstasy of love when he was chanting the names as he used to get before. So he said, therefore I feel that I have made a mistake in giving this mantra that I received in Diksha to another person. In other words, to an undeserving candidate. Srila Prabhupada also mentions that one should not initiate an undeserving candidate. That is why there are so many rules and regulations to be followed. Initially, when Srila Prabhupada went to America, at the first initiation ceremony, the devotees didn't even know what the four regulative principles were. And after they were initiated, then they were told that now you have to follow these four regulative principles, and they were really surprised. And in the early days of ISKCON also, people were given initiation anyway, just off the street, made devotees, and next day given initiation. I remember also one time when I was a new devotee, there was one person, young man, he just happened to wander into the temple somehow. And he wasn't even a serious candidate, but he just somehow came in by Krishna's arrangement. And some two devotees who were there happened to see him, and they got into a discussion with him. And the discussion went on, and all night long they gave him such a strong dose, and next morning they made him sit for initiation. And he was initiated. There was already some initiation sacrifice going on. They just made him sit there. And in that one night, they really gave him such a heavy dose of philosophy and understanding of Krishna consciousness. They just made him sit the next day. Since then, the movement has come a long way. It is time for standards. It is not proper that someone who is not really qualified or someone who is not up to the standards suddenly gets initiation like this. Because initiation is a very serious business. So then Gadadhar Pandit was feeling that perhaps because he had given the mantra that he had received from his guru to an undeserving candidate, therefore maybe there was some loss of ecstasy, that his mind was not being stable. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to him that, well, your mantropadesha guru is the only one who can reinitiate you, who can give you the mantra again. Even I cannot do it. So in this way, the Supreme Lord was himself re-establishing the system that he has given in the scriptures. Although Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, and he is the original guru, and he could well have reinitiated Gadadhar Pandit, and it would not have been a fault, because he is the Supreme Lord. But nevertheless, the Lord wanted to preserve the system that he himself had made. So he told Gadadhar that, no, even I cannot do it. Your mantropadeshak guru, the guru who has given you the mantra, has to reinitiate you. So Gadadhar said, but he is not here now. He said, don't worry, Pundarik Vidyanidhi is going to come very shortly, I can understand. Because Mahaprabhu is omniscient, all-knowing, so he understood that by his will, Pundarik Vidyanidhi came into Jagannath Puri very shortly, and then he gave the mantra again to Gadadhar Pandit. In this way, many wonderful pastimes took place. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was glorified by all the devotees. And Gadadhar Pandit indeed was also very fortunate that he was initiated by this great personality. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was fortunate that he had a disciple like Gadadhar Pandit. So Mahaprabhu always held Pundarik Vidyanidhi in great respect, because he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and because Pundarik Vidyanidhi was none other than Vrishabhanu Maharaj in Krishna Leela. So whenever they met, he would often say, oh my dear father, oh my dear father. So in this way, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was held in very great esteem by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees of the Lord, and had befittingly got the title Prema Nidhi, Ocean of Devotion. Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi ki jai. So are there any questions or comments? Yes. The question is that even though Krishna came to guide Shukadev Goswami from the womb and asked him to come out, how is it that he was still attracted to the impersonal? Well, that was his inclination at that time. In the very famous verse, Parinishtito Pinair Gunye, Shukadev Goswami himself has explained his previous disposition, his inclination towards the impersonal. And somehow, by hearing the glories of the Lord, His beauty, His mercy, and so on, his heart was changed. The Atmaram verse आत्मा रामाश्च मुनयो निर्ग्रंथा अप्युरुक्रमे कुर्वन्ति अहितुकिं भक्तिम इत्थं भूत गुणो हरिहि is also relevant here because it shows that all kinds of liberated souls in Atmarams were self-satisfied. Even if they're not devotees now, they become so attracted to the wonderful qualities and pastimes of the Lord that they also become devotees. So Shukadev Goswami is one example. The four Kumaras are another example. Is there any other question or comment? Yes. Why did he want to get reinitiated? Because he just wanted to reinforce the commitment. He felt that he had committed an offense and that therefore that the link that he had with the Guru was broken because of that violation from his side. So just to reinforce that commitment within himself, he wanted that external formality to be done. So that's all. Yes. Well, it's not exactly applicable here. We have a certain system that Prabhupada has set up. So within ISKCON we follow a certain system. So there were many other systems there prevalent at that time, at Mahaprabhu's time also. Any other points, questions? Okay, so thank you very much. We'll meet again tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare